Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to come together and be united in the Spirit. Pray, open our hearts and minds now to your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Everybody see me okay? Give me a thumbs up there. Okay, good. And you can hear me too. Good. All right. So, some of you may know that I'm a car guy. I kind of like cars, you know. I'm not a real car guy in that I can take an engine apart and put it all back together again. But, in the Middle East, where you can get the best deals on, wheels and tires, well, it's tire right next to Sidon. Okay, that's my bad joke for the morning. I'm sorry. Okay, so we'll move on from there. Like I said, okay, I'm not getting any feedback here. The other thing that I noticed when we were here this morning was, Father David and I in the past at one point had said, yeah, I want to be able to preach standing up. You know, I'm not used to sitting down and preaching. And what I found this morning, because in the beginning of the service, we were all standing here for a while. And you know what? I got tired. I'm not used to standing up that long. It's going to be hard. So I'm trying to preach standing up right now. But if I go like that, you'll know that I'm just not here anymore. So no, I'm just kidding. All right. So like I said, I like cars. And you might know that. You guys have all seen my little yellow car, my little yellow Miata. And I've had that car for a long time. I think I've owned it for 25 years now. And, of course, I've had to do some work on it. I've done some work on it myself. In fact, more recently I have, because it wasn't running for quite a while. But it is running again. You know, and early on when I got that car, it was pretty new. And you had to search a little bit to find a mechanic who could work on it. At first, only Mazda would work on it. But later on, I found this wonderful mechanic at a place called Blue Ridge Foreign Autos. And he kind of specialized in Peugeots, but mostly foreign cars. And he would work on my Miata and did a fabulous job. And of course, we're talking about Doug Warnell. And I do miss Doug. And what more can I say about that? He's gone on to be with the Lord. He is among the church triumphant now. But we've had to find other mechanics. And sometimes that can be hard to do because mechanics specialize. And so you can't always find somebody who will work on your car. You know, they either won't do domestic cars or they won't do foreign cars. We tried to take my Jeep back to mostly Toyota. And, of course, they're mostly Toyota, so they wouldn't work on the Jeep because it was a domestic car, you know. So gets to be a little difficult because certain mechanics only work on certain makes and models, you know, and you understand what I'm talking about. A make is that it's a Mazda and a model is that it's a Miata. Okay. And the thing I want you to understand today, and, you know, once I tell you this, you can then turn off Zoom because you don't need to hear anymore, is that God is not limited to certain groups of people. He is a full service God. And he works on all makes and models. Okay. Now that's the summary of the scriptures for today. And if you want to, you can turn me off, but then you won't get to hear how it applies to us. So let me get some water. All right. God does not and will not exclude any group of persons. He has made himself available to all people, regardless of race, color, sex, origin, all of those separators that I've talked to you about before. And I've preached on this before. And in fact, it seems like these particular scriptures I wind up getting sort of like Father David gets the feeding of the 5,000 all the time. But it is particularly apropos in our world right now. And because of the unrest that occurred after the death of George Floyd. Now, I was very hesitant to wade into this subject. And I, you know, kept looking at the scriptures and looking at these scriptures. And I was like, no, Lord, I don't want to. But he said, do it. I said, okay, we're going to have some ground rules here. as I said, I was very hesitant to wade into the subject because it has become so politically charged and there's so much emotion surrounding it that it's difficult to get to the facts. And I think this may be why I haven't commented on this before, because this happened back in May. And it doesn't matter whether I look at liberal or conservative press, you know, it's hard to find out where the truth of the thing lies. And I don't feel like I can really trust them. Sometimes, you know, over the years, I'll listen to one type of press or the other, maybe on radio or, you know, read something just to see if I can pick out their bias. And it's actually not that hard to do. But it makes me distrustful of them because they all have agendas. Okay? You know, news nowadays is about very few or very little about the facts and lots about opinion. They want to help us understand the facts. And so that's what you get most of the time. Well, thank you. I can do that for myself. Just the facts, please, as Joe Friday would say. So I tried to go through this and research a little bit and discover some facts. But you know, there have been come so quickly so many layers to the problem that it is astounding, because you know how it all snowballed after the original thing. There is the original tragedy. It is one that has happened before across this nation and the world many times over. And then there were the responses to the tragedy. And then there were the responses to the responses. And then there are the responses to the responses to the responses. And it just goes on and on and on to the point where two major cities now are defunding their police forces. And blame is being handed around all over the place. And of course, once the politicians get involved, it really starts, you know, happening. Fingers are being pointed in every direction as to the cause of this. But in the bottom line, it is a tragedy. Anytime injustice occurs, anytime a death occurs, especially a needless death. Millions of African Americans cried out in their pain, Black Lives Matter. And again, I said, I'm not going to try and give you facts about all of this or assign blame or even give you my opinion because, as I said, there's so much information and disinformation out there. But I wouldn't trust my sources. I will not talk as an authority on that issue. And I don't know anything about the group Black Lives Matter, but the statement Black Lives Matter is very true. Black lives do matter. To God, all lives matter. What I want to do is look at what God says about this. Okay. And in Isaiah 56, what you heard today, we actually do see this. Okay. Isaiah 56, if you want to go there, you can turn to it. This is a continuation, an expansion of God's promised coming world under the Messiah, the Christ, which he pronounces in Isaiah 55. You know, where he says, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. You all know that scripture. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. That's where it comes from. That's Isaiah 55. Okay. So in this next chapter after that, he tells us something of what is going to be required of us in this new life. And so again, I'm going back to chapter 56 of Isaiah. In verse 1, he says, this is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. So that very first thing that he mentions about the kingdom of the Messiah is personal responsibility. Be just, do what is right. And then if we skip down to verse 3, he says, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. You see, God does an extraordinary thing in this prophecy here. He expands the blessing of Israel to all foreigners, to all. And he includes the celibate there who love the Lord. Any who love the Lord and will bind themselves to him will have the same blessing in the kingdom. And he makes this incredible statement. He says, my house, down in verse 7, will be a house of prayer for all nations. All nations, not just Israel.
Just going on, man. Sit right there.
And somebody's not muted. Check your mute, if you would, please.
I think I took care of.
So you see, that is my first proof to you that God places all people on equal footing. God's astounding love is available to everyone. Now, if we move on and we go into Romans chapter 11, which you also heard today, Paul's explaining the Jews' position. Okay, and the Jews' position regarding God and their rejection of the Messiah. And though they deny God now in Jesus, he doesn't deny them. Okay, verse 11, 25 of Romans, he says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. He says, the full number of the Gentiles. Well, who are the Gentiles? Well, you know, that's everyone else, all of us. If we're not Jewish, then we're Gentile. Regardless of skin color or place of birth, if we're not Jewish, we're Gentile. And he's explaining that the full number of the Gentiles will be brought in as well. Paul is explaining that the Jews have not been forsaken, even though they've rejected Messiah. They will be saved too. And the fact is that God makes no distinction, national origin, race, sex. His overall plan of salvation is for all. All. A-L-L. And that is my second proof from the scriptures for today. And then if we move on to the gospel, Matthew chapter 15. And in Matthew, in the NIV, it titles this section, The Faith of a Canaanite Woman. And of course, in I think it's Luke. Maybe it's Luke or Mark. I can't remember which. He's called the Syrophoenician Woman. Okay. And that's too hard to say, so we'll say Canaanite. Okay. But in this case, Jesus demonstrates this to us. You know, I was thinking about Jesus' life and ministry as he walked around on earth. And what he does is he actually demonstrates the promises and the gifts of God. Yeah, he talks about them, but he more demonstrates them in the things that he does and the actions that he takes. In fact, you could probably say that in his 3 years of ministry time, they're all about demonstrating God's position on things or demonstrating the promises of God that were written before in the Old Testament. These things have been written in his prophetic word, but Jesus comes to actually walk out their meaning, to demonstrate them, to put flesh on the promises of his Father, so to speak. And here is another example where he does that again in the faith of the Canaanite woman, okay? Matthew 15:21, a woman comes begging to him. Now, Matthew, like I said, calls her a Canaanite. Mark calls her a Syrophoenician Greek. Well, what was she? Well, she was a Gentile. She was not Jewish, okay? She was everybody else. Now, Jesus, in this passage, knows what's going on. He knows already what her request is. He knows why she's there. He knows what she needs, and he knows who she is and her national origin, and he knows what he's going to do already, ahead of time. But he asks her anyway in order to see what she'll do and how far she's willing to go for this. You see, she isn't supposed to speak to him at all. Number one, she's female and he's male. Not supposed to happen. Number two, because she's a Gentile and he's Jewish, a rabbi to beat. Number three, because when confronted with her, Jesus doesn't even address her. He speaks to the disciples and says, I wasn't sent for her. I was sent for the lost sheep of Israel only. He didn't even answer her. He answered his disciples. But, you know, she hears him. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm right here. You know, I can hear what you're saying, you know. But yet she goes on. And number four, she shouldn't speak to him because he calls her a dog. That's what he's saying about the little dogs. The crumbs gather up under the master's table. But she persists, and Jesus knew she would, because that was his plan. See, her answer demonstrates her great faith, her desperation, the desperation of a mother. And once again, he extends his healing hand, not just to a single ethnic group, but to a Gentile. And of course, we can go over many other examples as the centurion servant. We can go on and on and on. Again, Jesus demonstrates the promise of God, the promise that he will extend his kingdom to all people. Basically, he's demonstrating right here, Isaiah 56, what you just heard. Once again, he makes it crystal clear that his saving love is for all who call out to him regardless. And that's my proof number three. So those are the scriptures for today. You see how I could not get away from this. There was nowhere to go. Father David, I couldn't go to the Old Testament. I couldn't go to the epistle. I couldn't go to the gospel to get away from this. Maybe the psalm. I didn't think about that. Even there, I couldn't. So yeah, I'm not going to give you an opinion on the death of George Floyd, but we must pray for the justice system and that it will find out the whole truth and act on it justly. That justice will be served in this case. We cannot jump to our own conclusions until justice is served, because we don't have all the facts. We must not base our conclusions on social media. You know, by being citizens of this country, we've essentially all agreed to abide by the Constitution and the laws and the land and the system of justice that exists here, as imperfect as it may be. And we must wait for that same system to make its judgment. Problem is, it's much, much slower than Twitter. It's no opinion from me. Opinions are cheap. But I can tell you how God views it. I'm only going to give you two scriptures, but we can go on and on with this as well, too. In Luke 13:34, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Again, Luke 19, he says, he approached Jerusalem and saw the city. He wept over it. At the grave of Lazarus, he wept. And he wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead. He was weeping for the whole human race. He weeps for humanity. He weeps at the death of unborn babies every day. He weeps at atrocities committed by ISIS. He weeps at death due to hunger and disease in Somalia and Sudan and Haiti and the United States. He weeps at the woman who pushed her car into the lake with two children still in it because she didn't want them anymore. He weeps at a man who's kneeling on the neck of another to the point of death. He weeps at the attempted extermination of his chosen people. His heart breaks for all the death and destruction that humans have done since the time of Cain and Abel. And you say, why doesn't God do something? Well, he did. And he has. He sent his son to die on a cross for us. He sent his son to be nailed to a tree like a piece of lumber, to demonstrate his astounding love by sacrificing himself for us, that death would not be the end, that our stories wouldn't stop here, but continue to forever, like Doug Warnell and our sister, Carol. You see, in his life, Jesus demonstrated God's position on humankind. In his death, he demonstrated his selfless love for each and every human being ever created. So now, don't get me wrong and don't misquote me. I'm not saying that car shops are prejudiced, okay? Because they only work on certain models and makes. But I am saying that the Father and the Son work on all makes and models. None are excluded. With God, no one is better than another. He is smitten with all of us. And you need to work on all makes and models too. Jesus demonstrated the points he was making in his life, and we are to demonstrate them as well. More than preaching the gospel, you are called to demonstrate the gospel, to be the gospel. Regarding that, I want to give you finally four practical pointers, as we're supposed to do in sermons, you see, so that it all ties together and makes sense. Number one, regarding the news, be careful what you believe. Test it. Test something before you share it on Facebook. Check the sources if you can. You know, and if you can't, maybe you shouldn't trust it. If you still want to pursue it, you can put it to God. What does the Spirit tell you about it? You know, you can ask him before you hit any buttons. Number two, if you're going to protest, do it peacefully. Gandhi had the right idea. Martin Luther King demonstrated for us peaceful protest. And these are incredibly effective, unlike violent protests, which are only really likened to bullying. Number three, treat all people as your family. Maybe better than your family. Are you better than another? No. In God's eyes, we are all the one he fell in love with. If you come across someone who's a different make or model, you better treat them like a child of God, whether they know they are or not. You may be the one who gets to share that with them. It may be a BLM protester. It may be a Confederate monument advocate. It may be an anti-masker. It may be a police officer. It may be a different race or creed or color or sex than you. Yes, it may even be a politician. But you are commanded to treat them with the love of Jesus. It is not optional. He didn't say you should think about doing this. He said, a new commandment I give you. Remember it? You can look it up. He requires that of you if you are a child of God. Remember that part about personal responsibility I mentioned? Be just. Do what is right. It was in Isaiah. He commands it. If you haven't done that, then you need to do some work with God on your knees. Number four, and finally, pray for the justice system. It needs our prayer. Pray for the people who have been hurt by all of this, for the lives that have been literally shattered by this tragedy. We must come together as Christians in prayer for healing for this country. We must demonstrate the gospel in our lives or it won't get demonstrated. We must be the voice of love in an electronic world of voices, or there won't be love. God serves all makes and models. He made us all. He made all the models. He made all the makes, and he made all the models. We are all his. And the scriptures you heard today are proof of this. He requires that we serve all makes and models as well. And so finally, I'll tell you this. The Beatles said, all you need is love. Well, maybe that's not all you need, but that's where it starts. Amen.